Because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him, but no bad karma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary, his stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. Please read. Because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him. But no bad karma emanated from his stool and urine.
Quite the contrary.
His stool and urine was so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside.
It's
a pleasant fragrance.
It's a pleasant fragrance.
So verse 32 was, when Lord Rishabhdev saw that the general populace was very antagonistic to this execution of mystic yoga, he accepted the behavior of a python in order to contract their opposition. Thus, he stayed in one place and lay down. While lying down, he ate and drank, and he passed stool and urine and rolled in it. Indeed, he smeared his whole body with his own stool and urine, so that opposing elements might not come and disturb him. And because of that, because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him. But no bad aroma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary, his stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. From this, we can certainly assume that Lord Rishabhdev were transcendently blissful. His stool and urine were so completely different from material stool and urine that they were aromatic. Even in the material world, how one is accepted as purified and antiseptic. The person can keep stacks of towels in one place and it will not create a bad odor to disturb anyone. We can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. Indeed, the entire atmosphere became very pleasant due to Lord Rishabhdev's stool and urine.
right from the beginning, he
human form of life. So we'll go through some of them and how we can and get at the mostly the end of this chapter. So we'll see how we can go along. So here it is mentioned that the spoon and giving of Rishabdev was aromatic, and how many miles is, how many yojanas, dasa yojana it is mentioned. So 10 yojanas it spread, dharma spread of spoon and giving, and it was very pleasing, it was fragrance. So how much is dasa yojana? 80 miles per one is translated in kilometers. 128 kilometers. So from here to farm. So imagine if Rishabdev were to pass through and even here at the farm, he can smell the fragrance for 128 kilometers. Farm is for 125 kilometers. It passes the farm. So this was the potency of the Supreme Lord. So you can see when Supreme Lord appears, he is not like an ordinary personality. Even though he might act as an ordinary personality, Parashurami gives six qualities or opulences of the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see in one of the classes, Prabhupada was mentioning that God is Asama Purtukam. So Asama means nobody can be equal to God or even surpass God. Nobody can surpass God or can even be equal to God. Asama Purtukam. Nobody can be equal to greater than or equal to God. So, from that purport, Prabhupada mentioned how God has got 64 qualities. And not only God has got 64 qualities, but it's 64 qualities in full. Whereas the normal living entity can have up to 50 qualities, that will be the minute degree. The maximum one can have is Lord Brahma of 50 qualities. To certain degree, but even Lord Brahma does not have all those 50 qualities in full. Only Krishna or Supreme Personality of Godhead can claim that he has got 64 qualities in full. And he manifests whenever God incarnates, whenever the Lord appears in the material world, he manifests this 64 qualities in full. So, most of the living entities have got maximum of 50 qualities, that will in the mind degree. It is mentioned Lord Shiva has got about 50. 5 qualities and Lord Vishnu has got about 60 qualities. But again, one cannot be, and that's why it is mentioned that one cannot be equal to God. Because Krishna has got 64 qualities in full. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7.7, Madha Paritam Nandam Kinchitasti Dhananjaya. That no one can be equal to me. So, my dear Dhananjaya, there is nobody superior to me. So, in the material world, we are proud of our small creations. But what God creates is uncomparable. Even the minutest, we heard from Canto 1, Canto 3, the creation of the Lord and sub-creation. So, when we hear those in Canto 1 and 3, we hear that from the cores of Mahavishnu, innumerable universes come, and in each and every universe, there is a sun. And even if we take this particular universe, there is one sun, and the amount of heat this sun produces, and it has been producing for millions of years. It is not like today we don't pay electricity or gas bill, then the sun goes off. No, it's producing an unlimited quantity, and it does not diminish. The potency of the sun does not diminish. It is, who knows how many, what is the temperature on the sun planet. So the temperature does not reduce, but we produce small heaters or some devices to create heat, and we are proud of those things. But even our body temperature, if it rises to 107 degrees Fahrenheit, we are almost there. So we cannot even control our body. Probably in the last 6 months I have measured my temperature more than in my last whole life. So our body is for heat, but that heat is also not in our control. And imagine Lord is controlling the entire, all the universe essentially. So this is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His creation is complete, as it is mentioned in Isha Upanishad. ओम प्रणमदा प्रणमिदं पुनः पुनः दशरे पुनः पुनर्नमाय पुनः एव वशिष्ठे. लॉर्ड इज परफेक्ट एंड कंप्लीट एंड एवरीथिंग दैट एमिनेट्स फ्रॉम द लॉर्ड इज आल्सो परफेक्ट एंड कंप्लीट. सो इट डज नॉट डिमिनिश हिज पोटेंसी इवन दो ही देयर आर इनिमरेबल इनकार्नेशंस इनिमरेबल यूनिवर्सल मैनिफेस्टिंग फ्रॉम द बॉडी ऑफ द लॉर्ड बट दे आर परफेक्ट एंड कंप्लीट. देयर इज नो truly there is no what is the faults in Lord's creation. So it's everything is perfect. So as Parashurama is mentioning, there are six qualities. So the first quality Parashurama mentions is beauty. So Lord is the most beautiful, and we hear in this chapter the description of Rishabhadeva is explained that Rishabhadeva, even though he was behaving as an avadhuta, he was lying in urine, stool, he was rolling in the dust, he never made up his hair, he was just eating from the ground, and he was just roaming like an avadhuta. But still his bodily features, it is mentioned that his hands, feet, chest, shoulder, face and limbs were all very well placed. So these are some of the symptoms of we see many of the symptoms, many times devotees manifest as well. So devotees are effulgent. You see some of the devotees who are like, there is Brahma Tejas, there is austerity, and we see their body features are very nice. It is also mentioned that the face was beautifully decorated with sweet smile. So he always was smiling, even though he was insulted, he was people used to throw stones at him, pass urine and throw stool on him, but still he always had a smile on his face. So this is Lord. It does not, his features does not change. Even though he is insulted, he is also Samadarshana. Vidya Vinaya Samadarshana Kavikasini Sunchana Swabhagesha Tandita Samadarshana. So this is one of the qualities of the Lord, that he does not, his Samadarshana, even though he is been insulted or he has been mistreated, but it still does not see fault in anyone. So this is the beauty of the Lord. It is mentioned the forehead, ears, neck, nose are all features of him which are very beautiful. So we see usually when people have, and this is again part of astrology, where one can, when the child is born, they look at the features of the child, they look at the forehead, they look at how the nose is, how the neck is. So these features, by looking at these features, you can predict what kind of a personality this person would be. So when Lord Rishabhadeva was born, he had all these features, and Lord is born, therefore markings on their feet, on their palms. So these are all the features. We can know that the auspicious, the person is auspicious or the person is not auspicious. Many times we see the child is not born with this, he looks very ugly. And then you can make predictions like what the kind of child would be. Or sometimes the child is very effulgent. He's got a perfect neck, perfect eyes, perfect forehead, big forehead. So then one can predict. So these are the features which Lord Rishabhadeva exhibited. He was perfectly beautiful. And even in that state, he was so beautiful that even all the people were attracted to him. So in Shatrupa is mentioned that the Lord has got two qualities. One is Sutam. Sutam means antiseptic and apapa vidam. So prophylactic. And also Shatrupa in that class in on this chapter, it was Shatrupa was mentioning that apapa vidam means a means not, papa means sin, and vidam means he cannot be contaminated by any kind of sinful actions or relations. So these are the two qualities of it is mentioned in Ishopanishad. The Lord has got these two qualities, Suttam and Apapa Vidham. So where and in Ishopanishad it is mentioned that sun is the example. When the sun rays fall on anything which is contaminated, it first thing does is Suttam. It will purify it, it will remove all the bad qualities of that, and then Apapa Vidham, then it will purify it, so that it does not have any bad qualities. Similarly, whoever comes in contact with the Lord, he automatically becomes purified. There is an interesting pastime which comes in Goa Chambu. In the courtyard of Maharaj Nanda, when Maharaj Nanda used to sit with all the brothers and their sons and all the family members, there used to be many people who used to do singing, they used to dance. So there were two devotees, Madhukant Kanta and Snigdha Kanta. So these two devotees used to sing the glories of Krishna's childhood pastime so nicely, as if they witnessed it. And then once Maharaj Nanda asked them, like, tell us, how do you know of all this pastime? Because we were present there, but we don't know so intricacies of this pastime as much as you are explaining. So Nanda Maharaj was personally present, and Krishna was performing all this pastime. But still, there were some things which Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, Madhukanta means sweet voice, and Snigdhakanta means pleasing or loving voice. So when these two brothers used to sing the glories of Krishna, they used to be so sweet that even Nanda Maharaj and all the family members who were personally witnessing Krishna's pastime, they were also amazed. They were attracted to that sweetness. So always Nanda Maharaj used to tell them, you please glorify, sing the pastimes of Krishna. So at that point, Madhukanta was elder brother, Snigdhakanta was younger brother. And they said, who should speak? And Nanda Maharaj said, one of you speak and the other, no, so, sorry, they mentioned that we both cannot speak together because otherwise we will go in trance. So one of us will speak and the other will hear. And when one of us is tired, then the other will speak. So they used to hear every day. Nanda Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, they used to hear every day from them. So at that point, one day Nanda Maharaj said, how is it that you know all these pastimes? Tell us, who are you? And they both become shy. And then they said, okay, we'll tell you one pastime. And they narrated the pastime of Yamala, Arjuna trees. How Krishna went between the trees, pulled the trees, and by his touch, the trees came down and they manifested as Naraguya and Mani Griva. But then Nanda Maharaj said, no, I know that pastime, but tell me who you are. At that point, this Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, they became shy. And then they looked down. But then Nanda Maharaj said, no, please tell us who you are. This is, I'm ordering to tell them. And they said, these two Yamala Arjuna trees are, we are the two Yamala Arjuna trees. So the point they mentioned is that as soon as Krishna touches anyone, he is Suddham and Apapa with them. He removes all the miscalities, and we see in the pastime of Putna as well. So immediately Krishna touched Putna, and whatever bad qualities she had, he completely served out the bad qualities of Putna and gave her the position of Dhatri, Namaste, the spiritual body. So this is the beauty of the Lord. So as is mentioned in Shoknisha, Lord is Suddham and Apapavitam as well as beautiful. Then second quality which we see in Rishabdev as well, which Parashurama mentions, is Lord is all wealthy. He is full of wealth. This is one of the opinions of the Lord. And we see here, Lord Rishabdev was ruling Ajanam person. So Ajanam, after Bharataraja means Bharatraja. But he was a ruler of the whole universe. And his opulence was such that even Indra was angry. Indra angered Lord Rishabdev and stopped the rain. At that point, what did Lord Rishabdev do? He himself manifested through his yoga maya, he manifested rain. And the whole Ajanam was a high rain, just by the potency of Rishabdev. So this is wealth, this is power that the Lord has. And it is mentioned in the Krishna Lila, it is mentioned that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. So when usually when we lift some rock or mountain or something, we don't lift mountains, but even if we lift a rock, if we are lucky, what is below the rock is all mud or dust or all the, and sometimes many of the insects. But when it is mentioned, Gopal Chakur is mentioned, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, the flooring was made of touchstone. The ceiling was made of chandeliers. What we see here is few chandeliers, but the whole ceiling of Govardhan was made of, underneath the Govardhan was made of chandeliers. And there were different compartments, there were different rooms in there. And all the rooms were having walls which were made of precious gems. And there was fresh water flowing. So the whole ceiling was at the Govardhan. So it was not something which they were like having problem breathing, and they were suffocating, and they were scared. No, everyone was blissful. There was abundance of foodstuff fluid. There was river flowing, water was flowing. There was a beautiful aromatic air was flowing through the, and it was pleasing. It was, even though outside Govardhan, Indra was showering torrents of rain, and there was storm and everything was there, but inside the hill, everyone was feeling the fragrant wind. So, this is wealth, this is opulence of the Lord. So, it is mentioned that strength of Lord is, again, the next one is the strength of the Lord. Krishna has unlimited strength, and strength in full. In material, in Krishna mentioned in the 16th chapter, Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi Siddhoham Balwan Sukhi. Even little bit of opulence or power one has, one tries to think, I am Ishwara, I am the Lord, Aham Bhogi, I am the enjoyer. Siddhoham, I've got all these powers, Balwan Sukhi. And the most illusory thing is, one thinks I am happy in the material world. So most of the materialists we see, they think that we are doing alright. We are happy in this material world. But really everyone is suffering in the material world. So we see here how Rishabdev manifested through his Yogamaya, the rains, poured rains over the entire Varsa, how Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. So, and it is mentioned that when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, it was like a child lifting a mushroom. He was not feeling any inconvenience. And in Gopal Chakur, it is mentioned that he was lifting Govardhan Hill, he was feeling that he is lifting a cotton ball. So it was so light that he did not even feel that he was lifting something. So this is the strength of the Lord. And then we hear about the knowledge. As Parashar Guru has mentioned, the Lord is all knowledgeable. He is all unlimited. He knows past, present, future, not only of himself but for each and every living entity. So this is what in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks questions about Kshetra. And Krishna explains that body is a Kshetra, and Kshetra is the Lord himself as well as the living entity. But the living entity is limited to his body. Even that he does not know in full. But the Paramatma, who is the actual Kshetra, he knows each and every body. So Lord is all knowledgeable. And here in this, especially in this chapter, when Vishuddha is speaking about knowledge, he is giving Naam. People go through the whole primary school, secondary school, college, university, bachelor's, master's, PhD, but they still cannot understand this one point which Lord Vishuddha is mentioning in this one verse, Kamsasya Mithuni Bhavamita. Tayo Mithurida Kantim Abu Ato Shetra Dhrava Shetra Siddhartha Vade Janasya Mokopayam Aham Mamiti. So this one verse summarizes the entire philosophy of human life. Why are we here? Because Pumsaskriya Mithuni Bhavam, we are here for this, the attraction between opposite sex. Of course, there are some exceptions, but the exception is so small that we can actually take it as if it is zero. Because there is a term in mathematics which is called infinitesimally small. If something is infinitesimally small, which is standing, has limit to zero, you can take it as if it is equal to zero. So I was checking yesterday, the population on this planet will just take the human population, because even the living, all the living entities are basically this minimum carbon, just and you can see from outside when you go and see pigeons or even the monkeys in Vrindavan, all their doing is associating with opposite sex. But even if you take just the humans, the population is 7.8 billion. 7.8 billion. And if you take the brahmacharis or sannyasis or vanaprastha, that would be, you can count probably 10,000 or 100,000. So if you take the proportion of that, it is 1.28 to the power of -6. So only that many population are celibate. Most of the other people are just engaged in this Pumsa Spring Mithun power. So 1.28 to the power of -6, which is as good as zero. So we can comfortably say, as Lord Rishabhadev is mentioning here, that Pumsa Spring Mithun power Mithun Tayo Mithu Riddhaya Kranti Mahu. So everyone is here just trying to associate with opposite for that Mithun power. Therefore, this one. And because of that, what happens? Atha Guraya Shekhara Sutta Atha Vidhaya. Because of that, they are feeling, this is mine, my body. This is my family. This is my wife. This is my children. This is my house. This is my property. So they are falling into that moho. Janase moho, aham, aham, amiti. Because of that, they are thinking of I and mine. So this is the, we can see how just in one verse, Lord Rishabhadev is giving the entire, if one can understand this verse, one can just become a realized soul, actually. And Rupa Goswami mentions, this aham mameti needs to be transferred to mamatva and tvadhiya. Mamatva means, I am yours. And tvadhiya means, mamatva means, you are mine. And tvadhiya means, I am yours. So aham needs to be transferred to tvadhiya, that instead of I am something, it should be I am yours. And instead of mine, it should be you are mine, Krishna. And so Rupa Goswami gives this nectar, which he mentions that aham avaiti should be transferred into tvadhiya and mamatva. So this is how Lord gives the knowledge. Then all things, as Sarashana has mentioned, Lord is all things. Even the atheists, they cannot say that they don't know God. Because the whole point of atheism is, they say, we don't believe in God. If as soon as they say we don't believe in God, that means they are taking an object which they don't believe in. So they are approving the fact that God exists. So he is all famous. And then all renunciation. As far as someone was mentioning, one of the opulences is Lord is all renunciated. And we see this in Rishabhadev. The whole pastime of Rishabhadev, this last pastime we see, is explaining, emphasizing on this. Tapo Devi Putrata Yena Satam Sudhya Deshwan Namasakyam Tamananda. The first verse itself of this chapter, Rishabhadev mentioned, Dhanadeya Deva Kirana Loki, Prashtam Tama Mangata Vipujam. He's saying, perform the whole devyam. So, one has to perform austerity, one has to perform renunciation. So, Rishabhadev is showing by his own example. But of course, we don't imitate, we follow. This is a very important point which comes up from this section. That Lord Rishabhadev showed, and he was moving around like a avadutta. It is all the characteristics I've mentioned of Lord Rishabhadev. How he remained silent. He was not interacting with anyone. He was indifferent. He was indifferent to all the insults and the criticisms of the people. And he at the time he was living as a ajata vritti. He was just lying at one place so that not to disturb anyone. And he was rolling in his own spoon and urine on the ground. So This is how he was showing that he, how he is completely renounced. He is not attached. Even though he was emperor, he was not attached to anything. But the three points which I thought it was important to mention is, we should not imitate, we should follow. And the second point I was thinking about is, never judge a person, especially a devotee, from the externals. Externally he might look different, but internally he might be completely different. And it is not possible actually to know the advancement of any devotee. To certain degree we can, but we should still not judge anyone by whether he is a Kanista or Madhyama or Uttama. Of course, the Uttama Adhikari we can know by their features, by their appearance. But still, we should never judge a devotee by externals, and we should not imitate this personality. We should just follow the instructions. So, I would like to stop here. If there are any questions, comments.
You mentioned that simply by coming in contact with Krishna, the Mani River and Namakubera as trees were fully purified. That's how they became Snigdha Kanta and Bhadra Kanta. We see we're in contact with Krishna every day. We can take Krishna, we see the deities, we take Prasadam, and we read Prabhupada's books, but we find that even though we have that contact with Krishna, we wake up the next day and we're still struggling with material life. So, does that mean that those elements of Krishna that we come in contact with don't have the same potency? Or what happened? What's going on? Why aren't we? Why can't we be purified by money, grief, or another good error?
So, not really an answer to the question, but from what I've heard, once I heard Jagatani Mataji ask a similar question, like, why don't we get the result if the holy name is powerful enough? Why don't we just chant a Dhamma chant it 3 times an hour and we can liberate it? Why don't we get the same result? Whereas I'm sure I would have chanted once Hare Krishna with good heart. And Jagatani Mataji mentioned that when you look into the window, you see the clouds going from that window. But you don't know where the car has come from and where it is going to go after it passes that window. So, even though to our limited vision we might think, here I am in that window, but what is going to be my destination, we don't know. So, definitely, and this is one thing, one should never doubt the process. Because from where we have come and where we are right now, there might be a huge leap from what we have done in our past lives or even in this life. So definitely we have not degraded ourselves, we have gone up, especially for myself I can tell. In this life itself I can see, I don't know the past lives, but in this life itself I can see I have made a big, huge leap in my consciousness, in my behavior, in my habits. But then, what is going to destination, that also I'm very limited to know. But definitely, I've got from what I'm hearing, reading from the acharyas, definitely know there is something which is, and Krishna gives reality, which I take it as, Nihabhidrahana Sosipatara Namadhyade. children, not their life, and not the world. So, on that, Krishna says he protects whatever we have and fulfills what we like. So, definitely there is one usually, and I would like to answer or attempt to answer in that pastime, especially Mandingriya and Nalapoya, it is mentioned. Initially, before they got the blessing of Krishna or the mercy of Krishna, they got the mercy of Narada. And there's one of the classes where it is mentioned that Narada, when he was going in the heavenly planets, he was meditating on this pastime of Balaji of Krishna. And when he approached to this Nandanandana lake where Mandingriya and Nalapoya were associated with all the ignorance, he had this consciousness of Krishna, and when he saw these two personalities, he became so disgusted with them that he cursed them to become trees. He did not intend to make them trees in Vrindavan, in Gokul. But because his consciousness of a devotee, pure devotee, says that even the curse becomes a benediction, they got the mercy of Narada Muni, and Lord fulfills the desire of Narada Muni. And because of that mercy, they got the association directly of trees. Even Lord Shiva could not witness the pastimes, childhood pastimes of Krishna. But this Mandingriya and Nalapoya were just a normal demigods. They were able to witness this pastime. So, in that it is mentioned, pastime, what was the qualification? And they were so degraded. Whereas Lord Shiva is so Vaishnava, Jala Sambhu, but he was not allowed to enter. Mother Yashoda did not allow him to come near Krishna. So he had to go at the outside and meditate. So it is mentioned that because of Narada Muni, who is a pure devotee. So the point here I am trying to make is, we need, even though we are doing all this, we are associating with Krishna, we are chanting, we are performing all this process of sadhana bhakti, but we still need the mercy of pure devotees in our life. If the devotee, and this is again, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one has to have the blessings, glands, and three things you mentioned, blessings, the glands, and mercy of devotees. Only then one can progress in spiritual life duty. Because on our own, because our every attempt is filled with faults and others. So when we get mercy of association, and that is why the association is very important of devotees. And when we get the association of pure devotees or devotees who are above us, then we progress very quickly. So that answers the question.
It's interesting that pastime, because they got to witness Krishna's pastimes,
yes,
as a consequence of getting mercy of Narada Muni. And so that constant association with Krishna over time purified them.
Yes.
And so the same with us, if we're engaged by the mercy of the spiritual master, in that constant engagement, sadhana, effectively. They had their sadhana in the form of staring in the streets, so they were stuck. They couldn't do anything else.
Yes.
So we have to also be fixed in
that
association with Krishna. Then it gradually. Shanai, development, gradually, the process of bhakti purifies. But what happens usually is by bad association, we're distracted from the process. And then we think the process doesn't work, but we just didn't apply the process. We got distracted by something else. So it is as potent, that constant association.
Shaitan kills demons, they get a very high advanced position. But devotees also carry such a position. I want to know if there's any difference in the way that a devotee is benedicted to the way that a demon is benedicted. I think that devotee should be benedicted more.
Of course.
Then demons get liberation and also get
better. Yeah. So even if, of course, definitely the devotee is because mood is favorable, so he gets a higher position than the non-devotees. But most of the demons, if you see, in the previous life, they were devotees. But because of little bit of mixture in their mood, mixture of three, they had to perform. They were, first of all, to enter into the lila of the Lord, to associate, to be with the Lord. One cannot be an ordinary person. One has to be a devotional quality as well, like Jai Vijay, Vinayakashipur, Vinayakashipur, all this. So, no ordinary person can even enter the Leela of the Lord. It is mentioned even Putna, in a previous life. She was the daughter or sister of Kali Maharaj. And when she saw daughter of Kali Maharaj, so when she saw Vamadev, she became so attracted that she felt motherly love for Vamadev, because Vamadev was so short and beautiful. So she was feeling, if I could breastfeed Vamadev. So she had that mood, devotional mood. But when Vamadev arrested Bali Maharaj, her moods changed and she said, she has arrested my father. So I would like to kill if I would, I would poison Vamadev. So Lord fulfilled both the desires. So this is the beauty of the Lord. Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills all, but the beauty of God is He fulfilled the other desire but still purified Purna and gave her the position of Narasimha. So most of the demons, if you see, they have got some devotionals, otherwise they could not even associate, come closer to the association of the Lord. Maya is sufficient to kill the demons.
And what about the Kurukshetra soldiers?
It is mentioned all of them, there were different soldiers. Those who were favorable, they stayed away and went to Vaikuntha. Those who were unfavorable, they had to take Sarvesh Mukti. So different soldiers who were present on Kurukshetra, it is mentioned in Mahabharata, it is mentioned in the Gita book. Like, all the soldiers got different destinations, but they were all liberated. Some got Shastri, Sarvindya, Sarukya, so all kind of liberation they got, but they were all liberated because of the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is Suddha Mahabhutam. So anyone who sees the Lord and dies. But there were some soldiers that is mentioned that they were immutable to the Lord and they died. They got Sarvesh Mukti. So it is mentioned, but everyone got liberated because of the presence of the Lord. Any other comments?
It's interesting to see how it's one's position is not static. You know, it's dynamic because the life force is dynamic. You know, even liberation is not just some sort of that's it, you're frozen in time, you don't do anything else. So the nature of rasa and the nature of relationships are that they're always changing, they're always dynamic. And we see that in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and of the Sankirtan movement in particular, that our liberation is not a state of non-existence or not a state of suspended animation. You know, you just
yeah.
Right, it's always moving, it's always changing, it's always, and that's the nature of spirit of Krishna ultimately. And of course the interesting thing is that those relationships, you know, the relationships with the devotees and the relationship with Krishna in the context of our personal advancement and personal identity, it is manifested in the sankirtan. And these activities that we're performing, they're not actually material activities, they're actually spiritual. Our vision of it all is just a little mixed up. So we have to free ourselves from this concept of liberation and start doing anything. That's just laziness. And it's not really a symptom of spiritual advice. Even Srila Prabhupada, well, especially Srila Prabhupada, to see how active he was. So spiritual life is dynamic, it's active. The relationships are always fluid. Your identity is not stuck. It's dynamic.
Bhagavan mentions this verse, Harva Darshan Parampalantara, Pajandi Adova Nandrit Yashwanandri. If one does not have the attraction for the Lord's feet of the Lord, even though he might think he is liberated, he will fall down from that position.
Yes, Bhagavan. Yes, there is, I guess, a change in personalism in many of us, and so we tend to think, I want to be liberated from all of this. There's standards in pursuing bhakti. There's effort required to, maintain a temple, to maintain a community, to maintain a family, all those things. And our tendency is to think that those things are material. But actually, if they're all of those things, and you see it with Krishna's relationships with, say, Kutina or Naramuni, all of these things, they're all dynamic. There's always some challenge.
Rasa.
And otherwise there's no rasa, that's right. And why we have to embrace, these mellows, I guess. Even the austerities performed in Krishna's service are for our purification and for our advancement. We're doing it for Krishna, or in Lord Chaitanya's movement, in Islam, it's actually for the benefit of others as well. The concern is about helping others and assisting others. Like why we do book distribution, why we distribute prasadam, we do it for the benefit of others. And that purifies us too, because we're automatically getting spiritual advancement, but we're not thinking about, we shouldn't be thinking of ourselves, but we should be thinking of doing these things for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of the spiritual master, for the pleasure of everybody really. And but it's always going to be challenging. It's not. And yet at the same time, if we do it, it's actually not that difficult. It's just our mental, this is a problem. So it's a bit of ignorance. We've got to get rid of that ignorance or that coverage. And we see that, especially in the moment time, so many personalities are overcome by all these challenges. With Krishna's assistance, Krishna's shelter, Kutana wanted to kill Krishna, or Prabhupada and at the same time had affection for him. And so personalities like Nandi Kriya and Alakuka are actually very special devotees. Even though it's mentioned in the regular devotion that these descriptions of instant liberation for different personalities are true, but may not be true for everybody. Yeah. And so therefore we shouldn't doubt that efficacy or that potency or that power is there because it's not happening to us. It just leaves me from reform, that's all. They're very advanced, they already witnessed, personally witnessed Krishna's pastimes. And we just happen to meet the same time party and fairly well, just out of curiosity or something, just by accident we both. And then we think, hey, how come we're not being liberated? How come I'm not liberated? What's going on here? That's because we're Krishna's particular power, but we're not taking advantage of it as properly as well as we should.
Let's go back to the number of Srimad Bhagavatam.